This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's quite a line from Jim Montgomery in this piece on The Athletic, and it's the last line of the entire piece. And it says, if you would have told me 4 months ago or even 3 months ago that my life would be profoundly better than it was a year ago, I would have thought you were crazy. But I see it now, and I'm living it. And I believe him. Because he was on the top of the mountain as a coach of the Dallas Stars, a hot young team that was on the way to doing something pretty special. And he lost it all. Yep. But he seems to, from what the rest of the article tells you, be living without what was holding him back, and that was alcoholism. This is a guy that, when you hear that phrase, last year was great, but I had that the whole time. You know, as good as everything was for Jim Montgomery, he had something that was killing everything else around him.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe him, Kevin, that he says he should have been fired for it. And his rock bottom turned into what he believes is a different journey and a new future for him. Former Dallas Stars head coach Jim Montgomery has talked on The Athletic, and he's got some very strong content here. I wonder if he'll ever be able to coach again, and I also wonder how long he can keep this up because he's been sober for 5 months.
Okay, so let me start with, you just asked a really, really intriguing question. Let's say you're running the team. Would he be in your group of hireable coaches, knowing that he was fired because of negligence on the job via his alcoholism?
Not for another year. So if I'm another team, okay, I'm going to give it, obviously he was coaching this season for a little bit. This off season, I'm not looking at Jim Montgomery at all as my head coach. But if I can get great reports, if I'm interested in him and I can get great reports that when we get to the off season of 2021 and everything's great and what he accomplished here, I'd say, yeah, you know what? Now that he's had over a year of rehab and he stayed clean, I'm interested. But I can't, to me, if I was running an organization, I can't be interested this quick.
And how concerned are you at that point of, like, what the stressors of the job would do to that? Because, yep, like, even if he remains sober for a year, year and a half, 2 years outside of sports, part of the alcoholism that he was dealing with was part of, you know, part and parcel of him having the stressor of doing, yep, a very stressful job, which is coaching the NHL.
But also, you know, and Mike, you know this just as well as anybody, when you're on the road, the temptations exist because you don't have that same support cast sometimes. You go on the road, and if your wife, which he says in the story, his wife is, you know, the one that he doesn't want to disappoint or let down the most, his two kids. But, you know, whenever you're away from that, how do you treat it a little differently because the temptation's right there? So I do... I don't know, man. I don't know if what are my other options for head coaches, and was he just the perfect fit for the Dallas Stars? You know, Ron Washington was just the perfect fit for the Rangers, and whatever his situation was, did not, from the rest of the league, they still haven't decided they could give him a head coaching job.
Let's just use some generic candidate to compare to Jim Montgomery, where Jim Montgomery, let's say he would be a little bit of a better fit, you think. But then this other generic candidate is still good. He's a tiny bit. He's a 10 to 15% downgrade. But he has never gotten into any trouble or had any professional or personal improprieties or anything like that? Like, what do you think is the difference? Because, like, if all things were even, I can get how you would go with, like, the generic candidate. But, like, if Jim Montgomery's the better guy, but he also comes with the risk, like, how do you balance that?
That's just, I mean, that's the decision as a GM you have to make. I wonder, you know, because Jim Neal made that decision to move on. So why did, you know, what was Jim Neal's reasoning? Because I have to, this guy has to see? This is the only option we have for him, or because coaching this or managing this team, he'll be a liability to us in the future. So that I think that, I'd like to know why Jim Neal made that decision. Was it for the person or was it for the team? Because we've seen situations where, you know, certain people just they have some problems that they're dealing with, but it seems like the people that move on from them are doing it for the betterment of the team more often than not.
So from the 903, we get an interesting text that kind of suggests maybe like a rehabilitation process of hiring, where you're like, you hire him as an assistant, or maybe he takes an assistant job somewhere. And I guess that would kind of help get an idea of what the stresses of doing the job, how that would affect his sobriety in that way, or in his quest for sobriety. But I also still am a little concerned because, like, obviously it'll take you in the places of not being in the exact same environment where you got sober and seeing how that changes. But you're not, like, all the responsibility isn't on you in that way.
This is an interesting text, and if you want to follow up, like, I want to know how these two things go together. From the 214, Jim Neal is a very spiritual, family-oriented guy. He wouldn't hire Monty back, sadly. Is that because, like, there's thoughts that he did things beyond alcoholism that, like, violated, you know, like, the sanctity of his marriage or whatever? Like, because there's been a couple of allusions to that already on the fan text. That I don't know, but I'm curious if that's why everyone is getting at that, or because he violated, like, the trust of the contract. Like, I want to know how those two things kind of go together.
I just don't know. Because I don't know anything other than whispers, Kevin, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Like, anything beyond whispers, and it's quite fascinating that it doesn't move quicker than that, or that information has never been given out. That's so wild that these two situations, I say Ron Washington and this one, have never been more than the whispers that we hear,
yep.
And nothing ever confirmed or publicly put out. I mean, especially with inside reporters that we have covering these teams all the time. So I don't know how those two go together or whatnot, but I think if for the business part of it, he was saying, man, this guy's got a problem that he's asking. And even Jim Neal said, I was asking my team to do certain things, but I wasn't doing those either.
Okay. Let me ask y'all a question, because I've heard this about addiction in the past from the 817. This is a fascinating comparison. I went from 2 to 3 big bottles of vodka a week plus beer to quitting cold turkey because my wife was going to leave me. I've been sober for 17 months. Best decision I've ever made. Well, first of all, congratulations. I'm glad that it sounds like hopefully your marriage is back on better footing and that you have stayed sober for 17 months. I understand that people make drastic life changes because something might be taken away from them. Like in this instance, this guy's wife was going to leave him, so he changed. Jim Montgomery got fired from being an NHL coach, so he decided to change. Is that most likely to keep the permanent change, or is it the change that you just kind of make on your own? Because, like, I guess that's one thing I've always heard about addiction is, like, you can't, I mean, not can't, ever, but, like, you should try to make the change because you make the change, not because you're going to lose something, because then, like, once that incentive goes away, you might run into trouble again. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm not sure that you can say that he didn't make the change on his own. Like, that could have been the catalyst for that decision.
Maybe. And that's fair. I don't know.
And I am no level of, like, psychologist or anything of that, you know, any level of expert on this. But I imagine that your success on this is not necessarily just making that decision, but also putting into place those bumpers, those support systems that will help you continue on. Because like, we're all human, and to err is human. We're going fail on this, but having the things and the people around you that will help girder you to help remain on that path or not veer too far off of it is kind of the big thing, at least in my opinion.
All right,
I think when it comes to the chemical, and I say chemical, whatever chemical it is. Alcohol, sodium, sugar, whatever it is. Like, sure. Kevin, you went through this, right?
Sure.
Mike, you went through it. I went through it too, where the first question they asked me at Soda, and they've even said a lot of our mindset stuff can be applied to alcohol addiction as well. What do you love that doesn't love you back?
Yeah.
And so that's that mindset of, do I really need that in my life if something else is willing to love me? You know, if my family is willing to love me, do I need that? And so that's what that I think that part of it. But you're still going to have arguments in the future later down the road. What do you do whenever those arguments pop up? Are you going to turn back to the bottle, or are you going to turn around and say, okay, I can go for a jog and come back and or find whatever it is. Let me go fishing for a little bit and break this monotony up a little bit. So I don't know. I don't know what he is seeing, but. I think he's the kind of guy that needs coaching. I think he does need that part of it because he enjoys the game.
I really am pleased to see how many people are like texting in right now to talk about how their low points turn their life around. You know what I'm saying? Like, for so many people, you talk about rock bottom, and then rock bottom becomes a new rock bottom, and then a new one. And like, that's not your catalyst for change. But we just saw another person who texted in, and I mean, then obviously there's that line from Rocky IV, if I can change and you can change and everybody can change, which I love that, and everyone in the crowd can speak English all of a sudden. It's amazing. But we're not here to talk about that. I will be there when we are here to talk about it. But somebody said, I got a DUI and then I turned my life around. And it is really uplifting to see how many people hit what they decided was their rock bottom. Maybe it's your marriage dissolving or like being threatened to dissolve. Maybe it's losing their job. Maybe it is, you know, the DUI. And then they turn their life around. For me, it was the day that I went to the doctor and they said, you weigh 406 pounds. And I was like, good God. Because, like, I went to that doctor where I don't know how old my doctor's office was, but they still had that scale where it wasn't a digital scale. They still lifted that one thing every 50 pounds. You remember what I'm talking about? Like, when you were a kid, they would slide it on the scale, and they moved the thing to the next one. And I knew when they moved it to the next one, they were moving over to 400 pounds. And so, for me, like, I remember sitting in that office because, you know, the nurse is in there, and then she leaves for, like, I don't know, 10,000 hours before the doctor actually comes in. And I just kind of sat there the whole time. And I was like, you weigh more than 400 pounds. You weigh more than 400 pounds. And so for me, sitting in that office all by myself, sitting with that number, it was 406. I will never forget that it was 406. That was my rock bottom. And was able to make positive progress in my life. So I really am excited to see how many people are turning their lives around with all of this, with all of their low levels.
The other thing too is, you know, he had a DUI in 2008, and there he kind of talks about that too in the story, and that there were multiple things that led to this whole big moment, this whole big culmination of things. So that's Jim Neal already made that decision to hire him once, knowing the background of things that he already had, right? Certain things that had already happened.
Yeah.
So with that, that's a, you know, you asked earlier, Kevin. So yeah, that's, I think they wanted a guy that they thought had a fiery attitude that was a little bit different than Lindy Ruff, a guy they could kind of build a foundation on whenever they went to get him. It was also different than Ken Hitchcock and their mentality. They wanted that young energy, but somebody they could also, you know, kind of convince to adapt and be somebody that would be open and accepting for the ideas of what they wanted to implement offensively and defensively. And he was somehow able to get the guys to buy in on what he was selling them, even though it wasn't all his, right? Like it was a combination of everything they were building together, and they were doing it right. And then that moment happened. So, it stinks because I thought the Stars had a guy that could be a really good coach for quite some time, especially after they started off so crappy this year and then turned everything around out of nowhere. And when I was talking with him out at the Shark Club, he was saying, you know, some of the guys just weren't doing the things I was asking them to do. And once they started doing those things, bam, there we go. And so that team was really, really frustrates me. Hopefully they'll win the Stanley Cup in the 2014 playoff, Kevin.
You know, it's not going to be a Canadian team. From the 817, it is much easier with that support system. It didn't matter what I was going to lose until I was ready. 2 years clean. And from the 254, getting arrested for DUI probably saved my life. Thank you very much, everyone who texted in to share your story, to give us some perspective on Jim Montgomery, who it sounds like it definitely turned his life around.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.